Blog Talk Radio.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not the politics. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human. And haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. I'm a human, yes I am a child like her, and when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a white, I am a who, I'm not black. And I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human. Haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human, and I have been suffering for too long. To the reasons for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human. I like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a lie. I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. When you look into her eyes,
All right. We are back. My name is Yusuf Arif, along with Katriel of New York City, to bring you your studies in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And I do mean studies. And also a study in regards to us as a people and to strangers, meaning different nations. You know, Katriel and I, we were speaking earlier in regards to a young brother in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a shame we've denigrated to the fact that we just do things. We hear things and we just run with them. No in-depth study, nor meditation, and nor application. We just spat out things that doesn't make any sense, especially in these universal captivities. Sovereign, something to that effect. You commit a crime in your enemy's land, you use sovereign something. It doesn't stand to reason what we're saying. And it doesn't make any sense what we're saying. Because you don't apply, you don't study in some regards. You don't apply yourself to the studies. That's the outcome of what we have been reduced to as a nation. Run off, so to speak, half-cocked. And if you know what half cocked mean, the gun ain't really totally cocked all the way. It'll go off on you. And certainly in regards to some of our young brothers, and certainly in regards to our elder brothers and sisters, we go off half cocked. That's the primary reason why these studies are essential on the Real Talk for Real People show. To get it right, you have to be redundant in your studies. You have to go over and over again, and then over again, and then over and over again, and then mainly what I'm saying, it shouldn't stop for you until your casket drops. As in the case of Cartrell and I, we don't go off half-cocked. We try to get it right. And that's essentially important, to try to get it right in regards to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, whom we come to study on a Real Talk for Real People study show. That being said, without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Brother Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Bless you, my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, brother Yamsuf Ari. All families out there, sister Sanya, how you doing?
Doing okay, brother. How you doing? How's your family?
Everybody's well, praise Yah. Yes. It is what it is, Doc.
It is what it is. That's why these studies are essential, brother.
Yes, sir. And anytime they hear that Israelite rhetoric out there, they're going to try to throw everybody under that same canopy. But you can't do that. That's prejudice. That's discrimination.
Right. They don't care about them.
You got young European white boys carrying AK-47s going into school, blasting children. But we don't look at all young white boys like that, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But they don't allow us to the same latitude, brother. They never have and they never will. They try to paint up with a broad brush, and you know that. Based on experience and our observation, just as I. In 67 years, we've seen the same. They write this, right? They try to write our narratives and paint us with a broad brush. So that's why it's very important that our brothers and sisters get these studies correct so you can make the correct application. They are essential to your survival. Praise Yah. Go ahead, Brother Cartrell.
And that label as being terrorists, like what terroristic act have we committed as Israelites? It's really y'all who have committed the terroristic acts upon the Israelites. You've robbed us of our name, language, culture, history. You're brainwashing us with false doctrinations. The real terror is on us, not we doing it to you. So
exactly.
I can't recall any incident where we, who call ourselves Israelites, have committed terroristic acts on a scale that others have in the name of their religion.
I concur. Well,
so stop labeling us terrorists. I know they say exactly. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but names will never harm you. Anytime they label us terrorists, it don't work. Either you're going to find out the truth about Yah, you're going to search and seek for Yah, or you're not, one way or the other. They're trying to stop you from trying to find out about the truth of the Most High. Because y'all got a plan. And it's written in the Bible. Everybody carry around Bibles, but they don't want to read it.
Exactly. I concur, brother. Thank you very
Praise
much,
Yah.
Brother Cartrell. Praise Yah. And Brother Cartrell is ready to get started as soon as you are. We're certainly ready. Will you turn your books to the First Samuel? I know some of you think it's Samuel. Bastardized name, Samuel. Nobody's pronunciation is Shemuel, first chapter 20. And after that, Cartrell will be studying in Yeshayahu. Okay? And let me go to that chapter, matter of fact, so you can mark it before we get there. Chapter 20. Okay, 21. Chapter 21, the fall of Babylon, proclaimed. Praise Yah. So let's get started, shall we? And in this chapter, Jonathan is revealing his loyalty to young up-and-coming King Dawood. Chapter 20, correction, chapter 20 for Yahoo, chapter 20. Then young up-and-coming Dawood fled Nehah and Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What sin before your father that he seeks my life?" Good question. But Jonathan said to him, "By no means. You should not die. Indeed, my father would do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me or consulting him. And why should my father hide this thing from me if he's going to do something to you? It is not so." Jonathan, out of loyalty to his father, was quite naive at this juncture. Then young up-and-coming King Dawood took an oath again. What's that, Cadre?
That was my son.
Okay. Then young up-and-coming King Dawood took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. He know you love me." And he said, "Do not let Jonathan know this. He's keeping you in the blind. Lest he be grieved if you do something to me, so to speak. But truly, as the Elohim lives and as your soul lives, there's but a step between me and death. Your daddy got me on a banana peel. You don't even see this because he got you in the dark. Because you would be grieved about this if I was killed. Truth be told, so to speak, a step between me and death. Like I'm on one foot on a banana peel and one in the coffin, as far as your daddy is concerned." So Jonathan said to up-and-coming King Dawood, "Whatever you desire, I'm going to show you, my lord. I will do it for you." And young up-and-coming King Dawood said to Jonathan, Prince Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. That's my routine. But let me go that I may sit with the king to eat. Let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening," young King Dawood was speaking. "If your father misses me," he's writing the scenario, "at all, then," says young up-and-coming King Dawood earnestly, "ask permission of me." That's why I'm missing, because I asked him to tell your daddy that. "That he might run over to Bethlehem. You tell your daddy that. His city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family, his family. If he says thus, it's good, all is well. Your servant will be saved," because he's going to speak it out. It's going to come out of his mouth. "But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you should deal kindly with your servant. For you have bought your servant into a covenant, a contract of the Elohim with you. Nevertheless, if there is any iniquity in me, kill me yourself." If I've done anything, kill me yourself. "For why should you bring me to your father?" But Prince Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then I would not tell you. If I was in cahoots with his father, so to speak, I would even tell you." That's what he's saying. Then young up-and-coming King Dawood said to Prince Jonathan, "Who would tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly?" And Prince Jonathan said to young up-and-coming King Dawood, "Come, let us go out into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Prince Jonathan said to young up-and-coming King Dawood, "Yah Elohim of Israel is a witness for what he's about to say. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, indeed there is good toward young up-and-coming King Dawood, and I do not send to you and tell you, may Yah do so much more to Prince Jonathan. He said, if I don't do what I'm going to say, I'm going to do in this regard. May Yah do much more to me. But if it please, if I don't inform you, but if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. I'm going to do that too. And Yah be with you as he has been with my father. And you should not show me, and you should not only show me the kindness of the Elohim while I still live, that I may not die. But you shall not cut off kindness from my house, the house of Saul, as a result of my father's actions. But I'm going to be honest about what I'm doing. I'm going to be straight up with you forever, which he showed the house of King Saul kindness. I think Katriel mentioned one of the facts. When Absalom, Prince Absalom, had him running from Jerusalem, one of the descendants of King Saul was out there heckling him. And he showed an act of kindness by not having his Josiah to put the metal to the pet on him. So he showed the act of kindness toward the house of King Saul.
This is important dialogue here because lives are at stake.
Exactly.
You know, King Saul tried to kill King David three times.
Exactly.
And King David knows in his heart that King Saul wants to kill him. Jonathan,
exactly.
Prince Jonathan apparently doesn't notice because he hasn't really witnessed it himself.
Right.
And
right.
King David is really testing Prince Jonathan, his loyalty to his father, or the bond that they made, which is more important to
exactly.
him. And he has to get this vow out of Prince Jonathan to make sure things are on the up and up as far as their dealings are concerned, because King David could be suspicious of Prince Jonathan. He could be setting him up,
right.
you know, to be killed.
Right.
Because he is
exactly.
King Saul's son. So he wants verbal commitment and Yah
exactly.
being their witness when they make this vow, because it's a vow made before Yah that they're not going to cross one another.
Well, sometimes people take their verbal commitments to people rather lightly, not knowing Yah is a witness to those verbal commitments, statements in regards to people. We have to take, even though up-and-coming King Dawood is sounding him out, and that's to get him to commit a contract verbally. And so, and they took their verbal contracts quite seriously, just seriously as a written contract, praise Yah.
This is a vow. It's a lot more than just
mm-hmm.
a verbal agreement. They're making
right.
an oath before the Most High, Yah. If I don't
right.
do this, then Yah destroy my family. If you don't do that, Yah going to destroy your family. That's some
exactly.
serious words before the Most
serious
High,
words.
Yah. It ain't just like a casual, oh, I promise you I'm going to buy you an F-Ford pickup truck by next year. That's not
right.
a vow. That's the promise. That I may keep or may not keep.
Exactly.
If I make a vow before Yah Almighty that I'm going to buy you a Ford pickup van, then guess what? I got to keep my word, don't I?
Exactly.
If I make a vow
exactly.
before Yah.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Katria. You're so right, brother.
Praise Yah.
Thank you very much, brother. And he said, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when Yah has cut off every one of the enemies he suspected of young up-and-coming King Dawood from the face of the earth. He knew that Yah was going to cut off King Dawood's enemies from the face of the earth. But he didn't want to be cut off, his house be cut off from King Dawood.
He didn't want to
so
be considered an enemy of King David.
Right, exactly. Praise Yah, Brother Country.
Praise Yah.
So Jonathan made a contract, covenant, with the house of up-and-coming King Dawood, saying, this is what he said, let Yah require it at the hand of young up-and-coming King Dawood's enemy. That Yah require it if they cross him. We want to be crossed too, because he knew that the enemies of young up and coming King David would be cut off. Now again, Jonathan calls young up and coming King David to vow because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's deep. Then Prince Jonathan said to young up-and-coming King David, tomorrow is the new moon. You will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hide on the day of the deed and remain by the stone Israel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side. As a sign, that's what it's a sign, as though I shot at a target. And there I was sent a lad saying, and this is what I'm going to say to this lad, go find the arrows. If I expressly said to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you. Get them, come then, as y'all live. There's safety for you and no harm. That's what it means. But if I said thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Elohim has sent you away. As for the matter which you and I have spoken, indeed the Elohim be between you and me. That means my daddy is at you, so to speak. He's coming for you. Then young up-and-coming King David hid in the field. When the new moon had come, the king sat down. This is what transpired, to eat the feast. Now, the king sat on his seat, as other times, on a seat by the wall. And Prince Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by King Saul's side. But young, up-and-coming King David's place was empty. Nevertheless, King Saul did not say anything that day, that first day, for he thought, King Saul, something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. That's why he's not here. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that young up-and-coming King David's place was empty. And King Saul said to Prince Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today? So Prince Jonathan answered King Saul. Young up-and-coming King David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city. And my brother has commanded me to be there. Now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Family is important. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. That's the reason why he's not here, Father, so to speak. But nevertheless, here's what happened. Then King Saul's anger was aroused against Prince Jonathan. And he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame, and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, you shall not be established under your kingdom. Now therefore, send him to me, for he shall surely found out what was in his father's heart finally. And Prince Jonathan answered King Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then King Saul cast a spear at his own son. There's the animosity toward young up-and-coming King that was so profuse. And by his son asking him simple questions, because he couldn't answer the questions. He was into physical violent attacks on him because he couldn't answer the question. And he tried to kill his own son as a result of it.
That's what you call an OG, brother.
Yeah. For sure. I would say myself, yeah, for sure. Not for sure. Not for sure. For sure. Thank you, Brother Cottrell. By which Prince Jonathan knew as a result of his action, was determined by his father to kill young up-and-coming King David. So Prince Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. He was in righteous indignation because he was so naive and ate no food the second day of the month. For he was grieved for young up-and-coming King David because his father treated him shamefully. He thought it was a shameful way his daddy was treating him. This boy ain't did nothing to you. This boy saved the nation. This boy has risked his life for the nation. This boy has showed you complete loyalty. In spite of that, some folk you can't please. When they gathered against you, they gathered against you. As King Saul had it against King David for no reason. So it was in the morning that Prince Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with Prince was young up-and-coming King David, and a little lad was with him, Jonathan. And he said to his lad, "Now run, find the arrows which I shoot." As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow with which Prince Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out to the lad, giving sign to up-and-coming Prince King David, cried out to the lad, said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" Telling King David, "You got to get out of here." And Prince Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Mace hurts. Hurry," he's telling him, King David, "do not delay." So Prince Jonathan, lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. He was in total oblivious as to what had transpired, the transaction. Only Prince Jonathan, and I'm going to start calling him King now because he's going to have to get on the run. So the King in the running. King David knew of the matter. Then Prince Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, "Go carry them to the city." As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face in humility to the ground and bowed down three times. They kissed one another. They wept together. But King David, more so, he was hurt. Then Prince Jonathan said to King David, "Go in peace. Since we have both sworn in the name of Yah, saying, may Yah be between you and me, between you, your descendants, and my descendants forever, even in spite of what's going to transpire." So he arose and departed, and Prince Jonathan went back into the city. Prince Jonathan was quite naive over the animosity of his father. He just looked at it from a physical aspect. He looked at, well, he ain't did nothing wrong to him. He ain't sinned against me. He ain't did no iniquity. He been loyal. He loved his family. He loved daddy. But he didn't see the spiritual component. And the spiritual component, which was this, King Saul had animosity, blanket animosity against King David. And he was determined to destroy him. But Prince Jonathan, being a man of valor, in character and commitment, had made a vow to his brother and friend. And he carried that vow out in spite of him losing the kingship. In spite of any of that, he didn't care about none of that. This man cared about loyalty. This man cared about truth. And he honored that loyalty and truth within the confines of that vow that he made to King David. And that's what goes to show us, people. It ain't what you see on the outside. The physical. Sometimes it's all about the spiritual. That's why you got to stay spiritually connected with Yah. That's why you got to stay prayed up, stayed up, studied up, and so on and so forth. And totally committed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And also in the case of Jonathan, Prince Jonathan. Totally committed to your brothers and our sisters. Praise Yah. And bless his holy name. Brother Katria, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Such a sad portion of our history.
Exactly.
But my view is a little bit different in that Jonathan had way more spirituality than his father.
Exactly.
And he was more connected with Yah than his father. You remember
exactly.
When he took his armor there up the cliff and chased the Philistines? He
exactly.
depended on Yah. So
exactly.
so that's why they had a kindred spirit, King David and Prince Jonathan. They both relied on Yah, and they could see that in one another.
Exactly.
His father couldn't see it. And
no.
King, Prince Jonathan knew that King David was the future of the nation. And he wasn't going to stand in the way of it. He wasn't going to side with his father, which he could have did. He could have took King David's head off, which is why they made an oath, because Prince Jonathan truly loved and admired King David.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Vice versa.
They had twin spirits, and both were connected with Yah, unlike King Saul. So the spiritual aspect.
But in the case of the
physical aspect more than the spiritual aspect. He was watching King David slay more men than him. He was watching people gravitate toward him. But he didn't see the Most High, that the Most High was with King David. Jonathan saw that Yah was with this man, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And if Yah wants him to be king, so be it. I ain't got no problems with it. And King Saul thought that his son was a fool.
Exactly. Well, you know what, Cartrell? Because of his love for his father, he was blinded by the love for his father that he didn't see it. That one spot. All right, and I concur with you, Brother Cartrell. He was spiritually connected with Yah as King David, Prince Jonathan. But he had one blind side. That's what his father, because that was his father. So, you know, he was blind. He believed that. My dad ain't, no, he ain't like that. Which, in fact, he was like that. He had only one blind spot. And that was his love for his father. And he found out that because of that love for his father, it made him blind in that situation. Not to take anything away from Prince Jonathan. Sometimes people can put you in a blind spot. That's why you should always remain spiritually connected with the Elohim, so you're not placed in a blind spot.
Well, he's supposed to love his father, the king.
Exactly.
And love is blind. And he loved his father.
Yep.
And he loved King David, too.
Exactly.
But he loved King David so much, he didn't harm him. And they made a peace.
Nope.
They made a peace treaty between them. Right? Because he had power and ability to do that. Because he could have went rolling like, yo, you my rival. You trying to be the king. I'm the next king after my father, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do that. But
no,
he wasn't going to break up loyalty to his family and his father, which he did.
No,
and
he
that's
didn't.
Admirable. In him,
it is.
He honored his father to his death.
It is, Cartier. It was admirable as far as his relationship with his father was concerned. But to be that as it may, Jonathan was a man of valor. He was a man of honor. He was a man of integrity. And you can see it throughout all the course of our studies on him. And that's what we should strive to be, like a man of Jonathan, Prince Jonathan. Either in this regard, King David, because King David kept that pact he made with Jonathan. He didn't kill King Saul. He didn't destroy the family of King Saul. He kept peace between his family and their family. That's admirable in the case of young Prince Jonathan and young King David. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
And it says a lot that King David has so much admiration for Crown Prince Jonathan that he cried the loudest. And you never hear King David crying over anybody else but himself in regards to the own situation. Not that he wasn't had love for the people. I'm saying that he never used counsel. His counsel was Yah. But the fact that he loved his brother so much shows that Jonathan was a great man. Prince Jonathan was a great man.
Right. Exactly.
King David treated his own brother or his father like that. He treated Prince Jonathan with the utmost respect. And vice versa.
Exactly.
Vice versa.
Exactly. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Brother Cartrell is about to proceed in the last segment of study in chapter 20th, the 20th chapter of Yeshayahu.
I have to correct you. It's chapter 21.
Yes. No, I was corrected. My wife come told me it was 20.
He's 21.
Oh, he's 21. That's what I said initially, 20. Chapter 21.
He's 21. He's 21.
And it goes, the fall of Babylon proclaimed. Praise Yah.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We know Yah don't play with his predictions because Babylon did fall, didn't it?
It certainly did.
Babylon ain't around no more. And it was one of the greatest empires on planet Earth. And this is the vision that the prophet Isaiah saw in his time for Babylon. Babylon, who was taking our people captivity. Remember, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all that was in captivity in Babylon. But so all great empires must come to an end.
Exactly.
The oracle concerning the wilderness of the sea. As whirlwinds and Negev sweep on, it comes from the wilderness, from a terrible land. A stern vision is told to me. The traitors betrays, and the destroyer destroys. Go up, Elam, lay siege, O Media, all the sighing she has caused, I bring to an end. So the Medes and the Persians are Elam and Media. You've heard of the Medes and Media and Persian Empire.
Right.
It was the Median Persian Empire that brought Babylon down. Why? All the sighing she has caused, Yah said, I bring to an end. They gonna bring all empires that bring sighing and vexation and violence and destruction to an end. This is Babylon's turn. Therefore, my loins are filled with anguish. Pangs have seized me like the pangs of a woman in labor. I am bowed down so I cannot hear. I am dismayed so I cannot see. My heart staggers. Horror has appalled me. The twilight I long for has been turned for me into trembling. They prepare the table. They spread the rug. They eat. They drink. Arise, O princes. Oil the shields. For thus Yah said to me, go, set a watchman. Let him announce what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, riders on donkeys, riders on camels, let him listen diligently, very diligently. Then he who saw cried out, upon a watchtower I stand, O Yah, continually day by day, and at my post I am stationed whole nights. And behold, here comes riders, horsemen in pairs. He answered, fallen is Babylon, and all the carved images of her gods he has shattered to the ground. O my threshed and widowed one, what have I heard from Yah hopes, the Elohim of Israel? I announce to you the oracle concerning Duma. So we go from Babylon to Esau, Edom. One is calling me to me from Seir. Watchman, what time of the night? Watchman, what time of the night? The watchman say, morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire. Come back again. I don't know what that means. I'm still trying to figure it out. But
right.
It's an ominous portent for the people that live in Seir, which are
exactly.
The Edomites.
Exactly.
The oracle concerning Arabia, the Ishmaelites. In the thickets in Arabia, you will lodge, O caravans of the Danites. To the thirsty, bring water. Meet the fugitive with bread, O inhabitants of the land of Tema, for they have fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the press of battle. So it seems that the Ishmaelites escaped the wrath of the Medes and the Persians. But thus say Yah to me, within a year, according to the year of a hired worker, all the glory of Kedar will come to an end, and the remainder of the arches of the mighty men of the sons of Kedar will be few. For Yah, the Elohim of Israel, has spoken. And Kedar is one of the tribes of Ishmael. And do you know what Kedar means?
Black.
Okay, you get an A+. You get the ghost star. Kedar
Thank
means
you,
black. You know, Ishmael's mother was Mizraim. Abraham married Hagar of Mizraim. So when Ishmael had a son, his firstborn son was named Kedar, which became a tribe, a nation, and it means black.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Thank you very much, Katra. That was short, quick, and sweet, and very informative, a vast reservoir of information. We've done our part. It's up to you. Now it's up to you. You have to study the Word of Yah, meditate on it, and most importantly, you have to apply it. Praise Yah. Brother Cartrell, any closing remarks and our comments before we get out of here?
A lot to be gleaned from the lessons from the past and how Yah prophesied on nations in ancient time and it came true. Got to continue to study to find out how things are going to turn out for us and for the future of the world, because it's all up in here. So that's why we bring it. We hope that you enjoy it, that you utilize it to your benefit, to your health, to your salvation, and may Yah continue to be with us, that we may continue to present this to you. We love Yah, and most Yah bless you. Shalom and good night.
Shalom and good night. It works if you work it.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not the politics. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human. And haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. I'm a human, yes I am a child like her, and when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a white, I am a who, I'm not black. And I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human. Haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human, and I have been suffering for too long. To the reason for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human. I like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a lie. I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. When you look